This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, listeners. Today is my 10th wedding anniversary. Spent the day with my wife, of course, celebrating 10 years together. And as we spent the day together, I've been reflecting back on a lot of the times that we've had together, a lot of the things that we've done. And one thing I thought about that made me want to record tonight, do a quick podcast to share with you guys, is if it wasn't for my wife, I wouldn't be reading comics. I wanted to share that story. It's a story I've shared with some friends before, but I find it interesting how things can have an impact on our life that we don't expect. My wife doesn't read comics. She's read a few things, but she really doesn't care too much about comics. If something piqued her interest, she would read it, but she's read things here and there over the years, but not very much, and she's not a regular comic reader. But when you find the person that's right for you, one of the things that they do is they look out for the things that are beneficial to you and the things that matter to you. I read comics a little bit before I met my wife. I was when I was right out of high school, and I started reading comics because of Kevin Smith. He had started writing a run on Green Arrow, and I started picking that up because I was a big fan of his movies at that time. And I read his Green Arrow stuff, I read his Daredevil stuff, and that time of being a comic collector, which was fairly brief, it wasn't very long that I stuck with that, is something that I still remember fondly. Going to a comic shop is before eBay and the internet was anything like what it is now. eBay was in existence, but I had never used it. And you couldn't just go online and find anything you wanted pretty much like you can nowadays. So going to the comic shop and finding back issues of Kevin Smith's Daredevil run, things to that effect, were something that were special. I remember riding my bike to the community college that I went to and riding home, and each Wednesday that a new issue of Green Arrow was out, I would stop by the comic shop and pick up the issue that I had. And little by little, I picked up those Daredevil issues as well. Well, a little time passed and I got burnt out on Kevin Smith, which is something that I think is pretty normal as you grow up and maybe move on a little bit from his humor. Although it's still enjoyable in many ways, but the fervent fandom that I had dwindled. And I decided that comics weren't really for me, and the first time I actually used eBay was selling my comics. Sold the whole lot of what I had on eBay for, I don't remember how much, but it was definitely a good deal to whoever bought it, and moved on. Forgot about comics, didn't even think about them for years. Years later, I met my wife. She's always been a big reader. She's a natural speed reader. Just blows through books like crazy. And she stoked that back up in me. And so we were both challenging ourselves to read as many novels as we could. And I know that year she read over 100. I read over 70 novels. And we're not talking about just popular fiction, although some of it was that for sure. But we were reading stuff like that was the year that I read Ulysses. I read The Brothers Karamazov. So, a lot of really big, heavy books we were reading as well. We were just flying through books. One of the ways we found stuff to read was through lists that we found online. There's a website called Lists of Best where you could find a list or you could create a list. And then as you accomplish things on it, you could check it off. So we were able to find a lot of lists of classic literature, must-read books and stuff like that. One of the lists that we used was Time Magazine's Top 100 Novels of the 20th Century. And one of the things on that was The Watchmen, and it's the only comic book representation on that list. And I didn't think much of it. I wasn't really going to go out of my way to read it. But eventually, after we had accomplished a lot of what was on that list, my wife said, we should get this. We should read this. So we went to a bookstore that is no longer in existence called Borders. Basically, it's like Barnes & Noble. But one thing that Borders always had going on is they always had a coupon each week. Like each week, you'd get an email with a percent off to some extent. So we go regularly and buy books using that. So we got Watchmen. I read it and I liked it. One of the things I've heard from a lot of comic readers is how much Watchmen is not a good introduction to comics for new readers. But I think it just goes to show you it really depends on the reader, and everybody is going to have something different that appeals to them. And the weight of Watchmen, the difficulty of Watchmen, is probably a big part of what actually got me to enjoy it and to enjoy comics, because at that time I was heavily challenging myself with reading. So after reading Watchmen, I was hungry for more graphic novels and more comics, but I didn't really know what to read, and I didn't really want to read superhero stuff. So I thought back to when I was younger, and a friend of mine whose opinion I really trust anything that has to do with art, whether it be music, movies, comics in this case. He read Sandman. So I checked out Sandman, started getting those graphic novels, and I really enjoyed them. I still absolutely love Sandman, one of my favorite things that I've ever read, and something that I still reread from time to time. I read through all of Sandman. Throughout that, I also checked out other stuff like V for Vendetta, other Alan Moore stuff. I know the only superhero-ish book that I read was Dark Knight Returns. So it's a Batman book, but it obviously isn't just like Batman proper that you get off the newsstand each month. It's something a little bit different and, you know, pretty critically acclaimed. So I checked that out. I don't remember all what else I read by any means, but I was keeping it pretty much out of the field of superheroes. And after a while, I started getting a little tired of it. We were getting ready to move to Maine from California, and I gave all my Sandman graphic novels to a friend of mine who had had a whole set of the graphic novels, but they had been stolen, and she was a big Sandman fan. So I told her, I think I still needed to read the last two, and I told her, if you buy them so I could read them, I'll give you all of these. So she bought those last two and I read them. I gave her all the ones that I had. She had a full collection of Sandman. And it was really nice to share that with somebody in that way. And we needed to get rid of stuff. We were moving across country in our vehicles, not renting a moving van or anything. That was quite a feat to undertake. So we moved to Maine and get settled in, start my new job. And after a while, I need a new hobby. I need something to do. I can't really focus enough to read heavy literature because my job at the time is just so stressful that it's kind of just crushing my focus. In hindsight, I can tell that I was also starting to have some health issues that were making it really hard for me to focus and maintain my attention. So that was probably a factor at the time that I didn't even realize. But I thought, you know, what's something that I can enjoy, but that isn't quite as difficult to stay focused on as reading a novel would be. So I started checking out comics again. And I didn't really know where to start. I had pretty much exhausted what I knew at the time for non-superhero stuff. So I started checking out Batman because Batman seemed like something that I would enjoy more. The tone, the atmosphere of Batman, you know, there's just something about it that I've always liked. I've always liked Batman. And so I started reading Batman. Having moved to Maine, there's a store out here called Bull Moose Music that they also sell books. And their books are always 35% off, at least at the time they were. Now it varies a little bit, but for the most part, they're always a discount. And usually it's close to 35% at least. And I started reading Batman graphic novels. I started with stuff like The Long Halloween. I know I checked out all the Jeff Loeb stuff after I read that because I liked it so much. So I read all of his stuff. I read Nightfall. I read just pretty much everything I could find from Batman. Then eventually I started branching out a little bit to other stuff. Started reading a little bit of X-Men. You know, I grew up in the 90s with the X-Men cartoon on TV. I watched it some. I didn't watch it every episode or anything. I was a Ninja Turtle fan as a kid, not an X-Men fan or a comic book fan. But, you know, the X-Men, I had that kind of connection to when I was younger, and they were appealing to me. So, and this was right before the Avengers versus X-Men event. So it was really easy to find stuff saying, hey, you read all this stuff, so that way you're ready for this big event. So I was reading all kinds of stuff that was leading up to Avengers versus X-Men. I was reading Marvel Civil War and Messiah Complex and like everything building up Hope and Bishop and Cable and just all different kinds of stuff. So I read all sorts of stuff. The first thing I actually read was The Age of Apocalypse, which that was stumbling into something where it was definitely a confusing way to get into a new pool of characters, but it was a good read and something that I enjoyed. So I was reading Batman, I was reading X-Men, and I finally decided that maybe I would start checking out monthly comics. And this was not too long after New 52 started, and I had no clue what New 52 was or anything, but I realized that we were pretty close still to this launch of something, so I was able to go back and pick up the issues I had missed. But I started Batman, Detective Comics, what was the other Batman New 52 title? Dark Knight or something like that. I can't remember what it was. But there were three Batman comics and I picked up all of them and started branching out into other stuff. So I started, I started picking up a couple of X-Men titles. And the ones I was guided to get were Wolverine and the X-Men and The Uncanny X-Men. The two titles had kind of birthed out of schism that split up the Scott School of the X-Men and the Wolverine School of the X-Men. So they were split their two separate ways and had their separate titles, and I started reading those. I cut back on Batman to just Batman proper because the other ones weren't really keeping my interest in the same way. I didn't think they were as good a quality as what Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo were doing. And I dabbled a little bit here and there, expanded a little bit. I was getting my comics at a store called Newbury Comics, which is a chain out around here. The Newbury Comics that is in Maine, the only one in Maine, it's kind of more like if you took Hot Topic, made it way bigger, and added it in a comic section. A lot of clothing, a lot of collectibles, a lot of paraphernalia having to do with geek culture and stuff like that. They have a decent assortment of comics, but that definitely isn't the primary focus on the business. So eventually, and this is the second time that my wife influenced me reading comics, and this is, if it wasn't for this, I probably eventually would have dwindled back off of comics. But she worked at a store in downtown Portland, Maine, and she was always really kind of staying savvy on what was going on with local businesses. You know, one big thing about being a Mainer is supporting local businesses. And there was a comic shop in Portland, Maine, still there. Still my favorite comic shop, Coast City Comics. And they were having a buy one, get one free sale on back issues. That's a pretty darn good sale. So I went in there and met two people who I still consider both of them friends. Tristan, who is the owner of Coast City Comics, and Jarrett, who's doing all sorts of other stuff in comics. And I still talk to him from time to time, but he's done stuff working at cons. He's working on his own comics. He's done all sorts of stuff. Both really great guys. And I went in there. I was just like, hey, this is the stuff that I've been reading. I want you to recommend something different because I've been reading Batman. I've been reading X-Men. I needed something different. I was enjoying those to an extent, but I knew that that wasn't going to be forever. So they were recommending a bunch of different stuff. Some of it didn't really resonate with me too much. Some of it did. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles IDW series had started, hadn't been running too long at that time yet. They showed me that. I grabbed a few issues of that. They told me about Valiant, and at this time, Valiant only had four titles out: Exo Manowar, Bloodshot, Harbinger, and Archer and Armstrong. And looking at them, the ones that looked the most interesting to me were Archer and Armstrong and Bloodshot. So I picked up a few issues of each of those. I went home and I read a little bit of each thing, and I loved them all so much that I went back the next day while they were still having the sale, and I bought as many back issues as I could of each of those things. And that was when I started subscribing. I started subscribing to those three comics. I was still subscribing to the other ones that I mentioned over at Newbury Comics. But over time, little by little, what I did was I was expanding what I was subscribing to at Coast City Comics, and I was cutting back on what I was subscribing to at Newbury Comics until eventually I cut out all the Marvel and DC stuff I was getting. And I had gone, after a while, I had gone fully in on Valiant. At that time, I think they were doing seven titles. And it was still when they were doing the original run of everything. So I was all in on that. I was all in on Ninja Turtles. And Ninja Turtles would have the main series, and then they would have mini series going along with it as the main series went on. And I slowly expanded and checked out other stuff. But if it wasn't for getting really into Valiant like I did, I probably still wouldn't be reading comics. Even though I like Ninja Turtles, they're my favorite comic property, my favorite characters. I know that it was getting into Valiant that made a real big difference in me sticking as a comic fan, and it made a big difference in my life in a lot of ways. It's just crazy what the Valiant community was like, how many friends I made. I'm recording this podcast essentially because of it, because I made the Valiant Central podcast with Martin. And that goes back to he was doing a website called Valiant Central, and I started a fantasy football league that he ended up joining, and we ended up naming it after Valiant Central because I started working on the website with him, and then eventually we made the podcast, and the rest is history. We made, you know, we became friends, we made more friends, we got more people doing podcasts, and we've expanded and expanded. And now after all this time, the Valiant Central podcast has run its course and is done, but I'm doing two podcasts, Martin's doing multiple other podcasts, we have like a dozen or more on the network. And it's just crazy how all this stuff came out of nowhere. But this all goes back to my wife knowing that I was enjoying comics, seeing this opportunity for me to find something more and a way to enjoy it more, and supporting it. Now, after all these years, I've had to change a lot. I sold my collection to help us buy a house. We now own our own house. I've had to stop buying comics monthly to make ends meet. And I still read comics plenty. There's a lot of ways to read comics more affordably, and a lot of ways to read comics for free that are legit ways. So I'm finding those ways and doing that, and still enjoying comics. And I just things change and things come and go and there are ups and downs, but it's just crazy to me to think back and to think that I wouldn't be reading comics at all if my wife, who could care less about comics, didn't influence me at two different points to read comic books. So that's the story that I wanted to tell. And before I wrap up this episode, we're going to have the second edition of Rob Recommends. And this time he's recommending another Marvel comic, which is what we'll be sticking with at least for the time being, because I have Marvel Unlimited and he's a big old Marvel junkie. And he recommended Uncanny X-Men number 160. This is a comic that I'd actually already read. I've been reading through the Uncanny X-Men, starting with Giant Size X-Men, and then reading through Claremont's run, which is still going. So I've read this one before. I'm currently on 171. Now, 160 came out August 10th, 1982. And for anybody that remembers buying that on the newsstand, just to make you feel old, I was born a little less than a year after this came out. Chris Claremont was the writer. Best X-Men writer ever, in my opinion, and I think in most people's opinions. Brett Anderson was the penciler on this issue. This was kind of an odd issue. The X-Men were on an island. I actually need to look back and remember why they were on the island, because I don't really remember offhand. I've had a little hiatus from reading the X-Men, so even though this is only 11 issues ago, it's not fresh in my memory why they were on the island. It starts off with them having exercises, you know, practicing against each other just like they would in the Danger Room. And they're being observed by somebody, and this somebody ends up being a character by the name of Belasco. And Belasco lures Ileana away. Ileana is Colossus's little sister, little six-year-old sister. So he lures her away. Kitty realizes she's gone and follows where she knew that she went to. And when she gets to a certain spot, she gets transported off the island. She kind of wandered into a temple that was there. And that's where Belasco transported Ileana as well. Nightcrawler, Colossus, Wolverine, and Storm realize that they're gone. And so Wolverine starts tracking using his senses. And when they get to that same spot, they all get transported away. Crazy stuff happens there. There's a lot of stuff that happens. It's strange and weird, and it's kind of hard to get your footing. But essentially, there's different versions of the X-Men around. Basically an evil Nightcrawler that's Belasco's, like, slave. Right away when you see Kitty there, she basically gets sexually assaulted by the evil Nightcrawler. Shortly after that, she gets captured in a crystal by Belasco, and he removes her skeleton with magic, which is pretty crazy. So she's stuck in there with no skeleton. There's this other creature called Sim, who is Belasco's enforcer, and he starts fighting Wolverine. There's a dead Colossus, like, pinned to spikes on the wall there. But then the real or the current Colossus shows up, and he and Wolverine are both fighting Sim. And they end up utilizing these transport portals that pop up around to transport him away. And then this mysterious creature who turns out to be an older version of Storm shows up, and she sends them to Belasco. At this point, they kind of reveal that the place that they're in is this magical limbo. So they all kind of fight Belasco. He kind of flees away. But then as they're trying to get out of there and get transported back to their current place and time, Belasco shows back up one more time and kind of yanks Ileana away from them. The rest of them go through the transport portal, and Kitty reaches back to grab Ileana and pulls her through, but she's 13 years old now. She's 7 years older. So just in that little them going through the portal, but then reaching back in before the portal closed to pull her out, 7 years have passed. And that's more or less where the issue ends. It shows that Ileana has a locket, and it insinuates that it was given to her by Belasco. So there's some kind of a connection there that foreshadows Belasco coming back and more craziness happening. Now, having read more current X-Men, I knew Ileana as magic, as, you know, the character that she becomes. I don't know at what point she becomes magic. What I've read since then, she hasn't done anything else. She's just a 13-year-old still at this point. But she's spending 7 years in limbo like that. She learned a lot of stuff. So I'm very interested to see over time how she ends up becoming magic. Magic is a character that I liked quite a bit when I first started reading the Uncanny X-Men. you know, Cyclops's team after Schism. Yeah, this was a crazy issue. Rob wanted me to read it because he loved how crazy it was seeing the different versions of the X-Men. I liked that too. I don't think it resonated quite the same way with me as it did with Rob, because I like the main story that Chris Claremont's telling, and everything he, you know, every story he writes is good, but a lot of the kind of sidetrack stuff that, you know, may later down the road have more impact. I'm always kind of just want to get through those stories, even though I'm enjoying them, and get back to the kind of core story that he's taken us through. So when they end up going to like Murder World against Arcade or stuff like that, like those are good stories, but like they're clearly something a little bit off the main pathway. But I did enjoy this one. It was weird and just kind of like you didn't know what was going on. I mean, it's creepy when all of a sudden you see Colossus dead against a wall and you don't know, is he really dead? I mean, obviously, reading it years and years after the fact, I know that Colossus wasn't killed in this issue unceremoniously like that. But if you're reading it for the first time, how would you know that? You know, so Colossus is dead on a wall, but then a minute later he shows up and you start to realize there's some really weird stuff going on here. You know, the first time you see Nightcrawler, once they go through the portal, he's this evil Nightcrawler and he's real douchey. But then you realize after a little bit that that's not the real Nightcrawler and there's something really strange going on here. So very good issue. I love the Uncanny X-Men. The Uncanny X-Men really is what made me learn to be able to read older comics, because I never read comics as a kid. I didn't like them. I found them too difficult to read and not rewarding enough in any way. And now being older and being able to go back and see the positive qualities in these comics. It takes practice to get used to reading older comics. I feel like comics nowadays are a lot easier to read. Like they really guide you through really well. They've come a long way in layout and plus just newer techniques. The clarity of the art and everything makes it a lot easier to approach. So that's Rob's recommendation for this time. Hopefully I provided enough information for everybody listening. I got some good free feedback from Nick Wetmore about the first time I did this. I took better notes this time. My problem last time is if I don't have notes in front of me, I don't have a computer or anything to reference stuff or look stuff up if I don't remember something. So I'm going to try to take better notes so I could provide pertinent information. If you listeners have any feedback or stuff you would like to hear when I do these recommended readings by Rob, let me know what you'd like to hear, because I could add those details in. And the more notes I have, the more details I have, the better I'll be able to do at this. So give me feedback. That's going to be all for this episode, this extra episode that I'm providing you on my anniversary night. So enjoy. Let me know how you liked it. Find me on Twitter at Who's Paul. You can tweet the podcast at CBW Podcast, but you're better off tweeting me at Who's Paul, because I don't check the other Twitter as often. Give me feedback. Let me know what you like, what else I can add in. And next time, Rob already gave me a recommendation for another book. And it's an oddball one, definitely something I've never read. So I look forward to bringing that to you guys probably in the next week or so. So yeah, until then, go read some Uncanny X-Men.
That wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Boo.
Nerdy Legion.
Nerdylegion.com.